Hello and welcome to Sewing Bee Unpicked with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
And we are talking about Series 9, Episode 3, West Africa Week. Before we start, though, we'll do our usual disclaimer. We are not associated with Love Production, the Great British Sewing Bee, or BBC. This is just a personal podcast where we talk about our opinions. And we're also going to do a second little disclaimer because for anyone that isn't in the UK, it is hot here right now. And I just checked the temperature and it's 30 degrees Celsius right now where I am. And we are sweating.
So if you hear any background noises, we do apologise, but we're both having to keep windows open. Otherwise, we won't complete this podcast. And if you hear any seagulls, that's because I live in Brighton. And for some reason, the sunnier the weather, the more seagulls there are.
And if you hear any kids screaming, they're probably my neighbours. You may also hear me glugging. I've got a pint of water here. I'm hoping it's going to see me through to the end of the podcast. So you might also at some point hear me glugging that.
Ooh. I've got a 5-litre bottle of water next to me. So if you hear like a loud electrical bang or something, that's probably because I've spilt my water all over my laptop.
Oh God, I'll send help.
Yes. So yeah, we do apologize. This might be a bit of a noisy podcast, but it is hot. We need the windows open. It is just too much today.
Right then, let's get cracking on West African Week. What did you think of the theme?
I really, really like this one. I always think it's quite nice when they start doing new themes, they start doing international themes, because you do kind of run the risk of like it becoming a bit samey. And I really like this one. I thought it was really cool and it gave us a bit of knowledge on other textiles from around the world. And yeah, I thought this was cute.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a really good idea. It broadens the knowledge of what other cultures are doing within sewing and textiles, some historical knowledge, really interesting. And it was great. This is the first time ever, I think, that we've had a special guest judge. We had Banke Kuku, who had studied actually at St. Martin's, where Esme works. So I wonder if she was one of Esme's students from back in the day.
Could have been, maybe that's where they got the idea from, or yeah, I don't know. But yeah, she's very, very cool. I really, really like this, having someone come in and judge who's got a bit more specialist knowledge and understanding of these textiles and the fabrics that are being used. And I loved it.
Yeah, me too. So as always, first challenge is the pattern challenge, where our sewers had 3 hours to create a batikari, which is a tunic top which had kind of lining facings on the armholes and on the neck. It was created from woven strips, which I think are called debore. I apologize for pronunciation. I've got it written down, but I have no idea how to pronounce that.
I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that.
So it was 4 strips of woven fabric. It had 6 godets, and the neck was done in a fairly unusual way, where you sew the facing on to the garment, and then you cut a hole through both and then push the facing through to the inside and top stitch. Yeah, a really interesting challenge, I thought, with a few really tricky technical bits that I think quite a few of the sewers all kind of fell down the same holes.
Yeah, I mean, you had godets, you had facing, you had pockets, you had all sorts, and it wasn't, like we're saying, it's strips of fabric that they were having to sew together to make a whole piece of fabric. So it wasn't like they were just being given your standard meter of something. They were literally having to construct the fabric at the very start of the process. I thought this was really, really cool. I really, really liked it. I think everyone did really, really well, considering there was only one person who'd ever seen and had really heard and saw people wearing these garments. So, yeah, I thought they all did a pretty good job.
Yeah, because it's quite difficult to make something when you can't visualize in your head what it's supposed to look like. And I'm assuming the patterns probably don't have a lot of diagrams or drawings of what the final finished Batakari looked like. So it's kind of like doing a puzzle without the box and not 100% knowing what the final thing's going to look like. So, yeah, it's quite tricky.
Yeah, and the bit I mean, I've rewatched this over and over and over again. The bit I couldn't quite get is how did they actually sew the strips together? Were they side by side and had like a teeny tiny zigzag? Were they overlapped? Like, even like, I've got it on in the background now, and like, I can't quite see how they've actually managed to attach these strips together. Apart from the godays, obviously we saw how the godays were put in. But yeah, it was. I thought this was a really, really cool challenge. I probably would have tried, but I thought this was very cool.
Yeah, I think the strips were sewn together, right sides to right sides, and then you were told to stop just at the point where the goday point goes in. And then I think that they were pressing the seams open.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm not 100% sure, but that's what I think it is. Probably each strip might have had almost like a selvage on it, so you wouldn't need to worry maybe about it fraying.
Yeah. But that makes sense. That makes sense.
If they're woven like that, because I thought the same as you, and then I thought if they were sewn any other way, I think you would really struggle to get the godet in.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense.
I've not sewn a godet before, and I YouTubed it, and that's something I think I'm going to have to attempt at some point.
Yeah, same.
Looks like you that can be kind of tricky.
Yeah, I've seen people try to put them in before. I've seen projects where they're like, oh, this involves a godet. I'm like, no, I will find something else to sew. I'm sure actually once you get into the swing of it, they're not too bad. But yeah, this challenge had a bit of everything in it. I really enjoyed it. But also the fact that they had the simplified version of it, it does make me worry how complex the full garment is.
Yeah, it's quite cool, actually. I wouldn't mind wearing something like that. It's quite a cool kind of like tunic top.
Yeah.
Especially like seeing what a full one would look like with, you know, all the other embellishments and stuff that they didn't have time to do. I thought that'd be kind of cool. Right, let's talk about the bottom three and the top three.
Sounds like a plan.
So in 10th place, we had Fove, who she had some issues. There were some raw edges at the top of one of her go days, so I don't think she had maybe gone all the way up, or it was just poking out slightly, and the pockets were sewn on incorrectly in the wrong place. They were too low, so the actual pocket bag was lower than the hem and kind of hanging out under the hem.
It wasn't the best, and this was one of those points where I just kind of thought, oh, I'm a bit worried about Fove now, like, because everyone else kind of... It was a hard challenge, and I think everyone was very, very close. But I think in this sort of challenge, you really want to stand out for the right reasons. So I was a teeny tiny little bit worried about her. But I would have probably been in the exact same boat she was in. And it just goes to show that when you get these sorts of patterns that are brand new to you, you need to read every single step meticulously, because like, as a lot of them were saying, they realized that there was like a part they were supposed to mark out on the side panels for where the pockets were going to go. Then there seemed to be a bit of a faff where everyone was like, oh, I didn't quite mark that, or they couldn't remember where they marked it. So yeah, this is one of those ones where you had to be meticulous with reading those instructions. And to be fair, I don't think she did a bad job. It was just a case of her imperfections stood out a bit more than others.
Yeah, I think there was just a couple of little issues there that maybe one extra that somebody else didn't have that kind of put her in that position. So next up, we've got Mia, who came in ninth place, and she had an issue with the neck hole placement, and the pocket was way too high up. It was right under the armpit, basically. And one of her go days was not quite in the right position. I'm not going to describe all the outfits because essentially they all looked the same because they all had a basic indigo woven strips of fabric that, although they had a few different colours in each of them, they all looked fairly similar.
Yeah, it was pretty much a very similar pattern for each of them, just the slight change in some of them were a bit had some pinky aspects, some of them had yellow, a lot of them had red. I think there were only like a couple that weren't red. But yeah, they were all pretty much very similar in the same pattern and color scheme.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bit of a funny challenge because we're talking kind of about the same issues that quite a lot of them have had. So it's a bit of a funny one to comment on, really, because a lot of them had the same issues with the pockets being put in the wrong place if you didn't essentially mark at the beginning where it was, then you kind of got into a bit of a spot of bother there. Yeah, so we'll move on to Lizzie, who came in eighth place. Lizzie had an issue with the neck placement. Again, I think you basically had to be quite careful when you were placing that neck facing on to make sure it was central to the pattern. Otherwise, if you had it too far back, then it kind of pulled everything back, and too far forward, and then it kind of pulled everything forward. Her pockets are also in different places. Again, we've already talked about, marking the pocket placement. So, yeah, have you got anything else?
No, you've kind of really covered everything. I mean, it was everyone seemed to have the same or similar issues as each other. And I think it was one of those challenges that really you just had to read everything to the very last full stop to make sure that you covered every single bit of the instructions. And yeah, I think our bottom three sort of all kind of had similar issues with go days not being in right places, pockets being slightly off, the balance of the top being slightly off because they've cut the neckline too far forward, so then it's come back. And yeah, it's one of those ones, it's really quite hard to kind of comment on because yeah, they all sort of had similar issues. I will say though, and one thing I do feel really, really bad for a lot of them was the fabric was beautiful, but they were all smurfed by the end of this. Every single one of them, because clearly where they had been working with the fabric so much, we don't know what the temperature's like. I mean, you'd hope it's they've got some aircon going on in there. But obviously the more you're working with it, the sweatier your hands get. Every single one of them had blue hands by the end of it, and it did make me chuckle a little bit because I was like, I'm so glad I'm not on this season because that would annoy the living daylights out of me. And the only thing I could think of is like, I've in the past where I've had sewing machines and I've used like tailor's chalk, and then like the tailor's chalk has left like a permanent mark on my nice white sewing machine. All I could imagine was all these sewing machines with like blue streaks on them now.
Yeah, when I saw their hands, it made me think of sometimes if you're sewing with denim or you've bought a new pair of jeans, and before the first wash, that indigo dye does tend to come off, especially if you've got sweaty hands or yeah, if it's warm, and then you get it on your hands, and that will take a while to come off.
I remember the first time I made that mistake with a pair of jeans, and I was actually at college. It was in summer. It was really, really hot. Got home after college, thought, right, I'm going to get changed into some pajama shorts. I'm going to cool down. Took my jeans off, and literally my thighs were blue. It took forever to get that dye off my skin. So yeah, it was one of those ones. I as much as I loved watching this challenge, I probably would have hated to take part just for the sheer fact that having blue hands would annoy the living daylights out of me.
Tip for anyone, I don't know if it works with indigo dye, but with other things like Sharpie or different pens, hand sanitizer is really good at getting stuff like that off your hands quite quickly. The
Yeah.
alcohol in it is really good. Whereas, like, if you go to the bathroom and you're washing your hands with soap and stuff, it takes forever. But yeah, ha hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer, but always make sure you use your hand cream afterwards.
Gotta keep those hands soft.
Definitely.
Right, let's move on to the top three. Again, I think this is going to be quite quick because I think we're going to have the same comments really pretty much for everyone. In third place, we had Tony R, and his slight issue, I think, was due to where he had put the neck placement because his Batakari was riding up at the front slightly. Apart from that, oh, and I think the pockets weren't quite central, but apart from that, they said it was very neatly stitched.
Yeah, I mean, the neckline itself was really beautifully well sewn. It was just a little bit too off center and it caused an imbalance, but he did a really, really good job. It was really well sewn, but I think the pockets was a big feature in a lot of people's mistakes.
Yeah, they didn't really fully show anyone sewing the pocket. So I wanted to know basically if they were done in the same way that the neck was done, where you kind of were sewing on a pocket bag and then making a slash, pushing it through to the inside and then sewing.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was Fove when they showed her bit, and it was sewing the pocket on, then cutting it, then turning it in, and then finishing off the pocket bag.
Yeah, which is an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, it seems to be a lot of a nicer way to do it, but yeah, I think pockets were a bit of an issue with this challenge.
I mean, that could be a good way of adding a pocket to something. I think if you were adding it, you'd have to be adding it to something which had a fair amount of structure and stability in it. Because if you were trying to do that in something that was too light, it would distort the outer fabric if you had that kind of pocket kind of hanging off on the inside.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You don't want your whole garment to be warped because you put your phone in a pocket.
So in second place, we had Vicky, who also had done some excellent sewing. Again, same issue, I think, as Tony. The neck looks just ever so slightly out of place, but it looked like a well-sewn garment.
Yeah, no, she did really. I mean, this is such an awkward one, and I think we're just going to end up repeating ourselves, but
Yeah.
it is like everyone seemed to do well at certain bits, not so well at other bits. But yeah, Vicky, hers did look really, really good. They did say there was a slight issue with the neck hole, but it wasn't that noticeable. I mean, some others you could tell there was a massive imbalance in the garment, but hers wasn't as noticeable, so I think she did incredibly well.
Yeah, I think they were really splitting straws at this stage with the top few. And then in top place we had Asma, who had again sewn it fantastically. She used a really nice bright yellow facing, which I thought looked great and kind of popped. And yeah, just very well sewn.
Yeah, absolutely beautifully sewn. But I mean, I think we're just going to continue to say that about
Yeah.
us. This entire her sewing is just beautiful. It's impeccable. It's meticulous. She does an absolutely fantastic job every single time.
So that was the Batakari challenge. Moving on to challenge two, we had the transformation challenge, which I thought this was quite interesting because it's very rare that they just give them a big piece of fabric.
Yeah. And there were some absolutely beautiful pieces of fabric in that collection. Absolutely stunning pieces. And this is the one that I got a very... I mean, I can't drape to save my life. It just confuses the living daylights out of me. I am definitely a cut it and sew it together, not a drape it and form it sort of person. But there were some absolutely stunning pieces that came out of this challenge.
Yes, so to give a little description of what they had to do, as always, they had 90 minutes. They were given a large piece of Nigerian Adire fabric, which I did a little research in the Yoruba language means literally to tie and dye. It traditionally was done with indigo dyes. The cloth was made in southwest Nigeria by Yoruba women who would use a variety of different dye resist techniques, so like the tie and dye, but they also sometimes used wax to stop the dye from adhering to the cloth. I had a really interesting, I was on Wikipedia this morning having a good old read, I had a really interesting history there. So if anyone wants to know more about that, it's Adire fabric, and there is a lot of information out there about its history. And they were basically told that they would be doing drapery, which is something that I've never done. I would like to try. It's something that scares me, where it's a form of fabric manipulation using pins, where you're pinning fabric to a body form, using pleats and different techniques to mold the fabric to the shape of the body. A lot of kind of little hand stitches. The thing that I don't really understand, I understand how to drape onto a body form, but then it's getting it off the body form and sewing it so it doesn't all just kind of fall apart is the bit I don't really understand. That seems like witchcraft to me.
Yeah, that's why I don't like draping, because it's once you then take it off, it's trying to remember which bit belongs where and what was doing what. And yeah, it just confuses the living daylights out of me. So I will just stick to pattern cutting.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to definitely look up some YouTube videos on drapery, because it's quite a quick way, I think, as well, of putting together like quite a unique garment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you really need to know what you're doing.
Oh, 100%.
And I don't think it's the kind of thing that a lot of home sewers do. I think it's quite a unique skill that maybe people that go to university would have a go at and play with. But a lot of home sewers, I think, would be a bit too intimidated to try draping. I think it was quite a tricky challenge. And you could definitely see there were some people who had skills on draping, and there were some people who it clearly terrified and were like, no, I'm gonna make a garment in the way I know, a more traditional way.
Oh yeah, 100%. There were some people that were a bit freaked out by this, and I don't blame them.
So going from the bottom, if we do bottom three, top three, in last place we've got Maria, who used a beautiful purple fabric. She had quite a few issues going on. The finished item wasn't really very drapey, and they kind of, Esme commented that it felt more like two garments that had kind of been stuck together, and it looked more like a traditional kind of normal dress. She'd sewn a zip in, whereas most people who were doing it were relying on kind of tied elements of fabric. It was a shame.
I really liked the fabric that she picked. I thought it was a really beautiful colour. I loved the design on it. Sorry, just having to readjust myself because I could just feel a breeze and now I'm trying to move a bit closer towards it. it was beautiful. Like, the fabric was stunning, but it did feel like it was a bit of an afterthought. Like, she... And I imagine this is what was probably going on was there was that creative panic of, I've got a time scale and I need to make something that I'm not quite comfortable making. And that's where I just kind of feel she kind of went with kind of the first thing that she created. And it was a shame because I quite like Maria. I think she's very, very cool. But this was just not her challenge at all.
No, it really wasn't. And then I think I probably would have been in the same position as Maria because I've never draped either. And I think suddenly to be handed a big bit of fabric and a body form and be like, right, make something out of that, I probably would have also kind of panicked. Just a real shame there. So in ninth place, we have Tony R. And again, they said that his garment wasn't drapey either. It was a red and white fabric, which had kind of like lines and blocks. He created quite a safe, simple dress, but it didn't really have any elements of drape to it. He kind of got the fabric, cut out panel pieces for a dress, sewed them together, put it on, did some adjustments. There wasn't really any elements of draping or pleating or ruching or pulling the fabric kind of together or the drama that they were looking for.
Yeah, it really felt like Tony was just playing it safe with this one and that he just didn't want to do anything out of the comfort zone, trying not to mess up. And I think that's, as much as I get the logic behind it, when you're kind of addressed with something you're not quite comfortable with, you do kind of stick to the comfort zone because you don't want to mess it up. But I think he completely failed the brief because he played it safe.
Yeah, and I guess I thought Maria's had a bit more drapery in it than Tony's. Yeah. So I wasn't sure. Like, I know her finishing wasn't maybe as polished as his, so that maybe that's why they put them in the positions they did.
Yeah.
But yeah, there just really wasn't any draping going on in it whatsoever.
Yeah, it was a shame. But yeah, it just felt like he played that way, way too safe and completely missed the entire brief on it. And yeah, it was a shame. I have to say, I know they have to do the one person comes in eighth, one person comes in seventh, all of that, but I do kind of feel like actually they both should have been tied for the bottom.
Yeah, I think I'd probably agree with you.
Yeah, just I think they both had, they had their own issues, but neither was really better than the other. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just the finishing that his was a bit more finished in total than Maria's. But yeah, I probably, if I was in the judge's position, I probably would have found it really hard to work out who I'm going to put in the top and bottom, who I'm going to put in that placement there. But yeah. I don't know.
Tricky.
Mm-hmm.
In eighth position, we had Fove, who had used a fabric with pink swirls, and she produced a garment which was kind of one shoulder. It kind of draped at the front, but Esme wasn't too keen on, weren't too keen on the placement of where the kind of fabric was draping because they thought it wasn't very, I can't even think of the word now.
It's fine. Our brains are absolutely melted.
It's from too hot. It's too hot. It's
too hot.
Flattering.
Too hot to think of words.
Flattering, that's a word. They thought that where the placement of the drape ping wasn't very flattering for a woman's body because it kind of just kind of came just below the belly kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. I agreed with them, but you know, it was what it was.
Yeah, no, 100%. I love the print. I loved the idea. I love that there was more draping in it, but there was a slight off balance with the draping, and there was draping in places that really wouldn't have been that flattering at all. But I have to say, in all, that she did a good job. It was only when Esme turned the mannequin round, and then you realised that, like, one swift movement and whoever wore that dress would be flashing everyone behind them.
Just make sure you got your best knickers on.
I mean, there is that. I mean, one of my favourite bits of advice was always wear your best underwear, because if you ever get stopped or need rescuing, the last thing you want to be found in is your baggy knickers.
Yeah. Yeah, I always heard that. Always wear decent underwear, because you don't know if you're going to be knocked over by a bus.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing what I was going to say is you could tell the difference between Fobes and Tony and Maria's.
Oh, 100%.
She had really tried to do the draping, and the other two kind of hadn't. So you could tell hers was definitely a step up.
She definitely deserved to be higher than the other two, 100%.
Yeah, she definitely was a step up there. So that was the bottom three. And going at the top, we had in third place Tony W, who had produced a simple but really dramatic garment. It was kind of a halter neck-ish top. It was short, very short at the front, in fact. And it was like a navy leaf pattern design with it was a navy base with kind of like blues leaves kind of on the fabric, which I thought was really nice.
It was simple, but really effective. And I think he definitely deserved to be in the top three for this. I thought this was actually really, really beautiful. He played with the fabric. He allowed it to flow naturally, which is ideally what you want when it comes to draping. I thought he did a really good job. I thought this was really, really good. He definitely deserved to be in the top three for this, because this was just very, very good. And this is, you could kind of see the difference. I mean, not including Fove in this, but when you look at the top three and then compare it to the Tony R's and Maria's, you can see the difference. Maybe it's in the confidence in their draping skills, but you could see the difference in the construction and the confidence, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought this was really beautiful. I think he did a really good job. He definitely deserved the position he got in.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I think there's a lot of women that could have worn what Tony had created, and yeah, it definitely had the drama that they were looking for.
100%.
So in second place we had Lauren, who had used, it was a blue and white fabric again, it had kind of lines going horizontally and vertically in blocks. She had been really clever with creating a pleated bust section, and then she had long element that was going from the shoulder down into a skirt. There was a lot of work in this, like there was so much different angles that she'd created and elements of the dress that she must have pinned or maybe done some hand sewing, because to get that off the mannequin and get it secured and then back on the mannequin is, you know, not an easy thing to do. So I thought Lauren done really well.
This was beautiful. I like this, just gave me beach goddess vibes. Like, this was just so, so stunning. It was an absolute knockout. Just you could see why she was in the top for this, and I'm so happy she was, because the work that she put into it was just epic.
Yeah, there really was a lot of very intricate details, and that pleating looked really fantastic, and it worked so well with the fabric and those lines in the fabric.
She utilized every aspect of it, and it made me so happy to see it. Like, this was just stunning.
Yeah, it was really well considered. I think she had started working on the mannequin and kind of looked at her fabric and thought, right, what will work here? What can I create? And then she saw the lines and thought, ah, okay, let's try doing some pleating. And it just kind of all fell into place, and it looked really great.
It was so good.
So good. Right, moving on to first place, we have Lizzie, who had it was a black fabric which had multicolored spots all over it. She had produced a garment which was asymmetrical. It went from kind of one shoulder down. There were pleats. There was a real fullness in the skirt, which kind of puffed out to the opposite side of where the shoulder was, which kind of gave it the right kind of weight and movement on the body. It looked so dramatic. I thought it was really incredible.
It was, and you know what, this made me so happy because Lizzie's kind of been falling in the background a little bit, falling in the bottom. It was one of those, I was a bit worried because there's only so many times you can be in the bottom before the judges kind of go, right, enough's enough. And she pulled this out of the bag. I loved the fabric. I love that it was the black with multicolored spots on it. I just thought it was beautiful. It was stunning. She did so much amazing work on it. And I'm so happy that she got first place. I have to say, personally, I was very torn between Lizzie and Lauren. And this was kind of one of those where I'd have quite liked to have seen the two of them take first place in this. But obviously, I'm not a judge. So, yeah, I can't make that sort of comment, and it's a competition, so someone's always got to come in first place. But it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. She did absolutely amazingly. I really want this fabric because I want to make a shirt out of it.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, I think that would be really. Or maybe as the weather's getting nice, a nice little play suit.
Oh, that would be cute.
Yeah. But yeah,
Super cute.
she did so well. Like, literally, the only thing I've got in my notes is stunning in capital letters with about seven exclamation points.
Yeah, I just can't go on anymore about how fantastic it was. It looked so professional. It did not look like something that she had done in 90 minutes and
No.
just kind of pinned to a mannequin. It really did look so well thought out and just really well constructed. And I was so pleased for Lizzie because I feel, yeah, she definitely needed to be up there because she's had a couple of dodgy weeks. So she really needed to kind of show her skills and show, you know what, I can do this and I can sew. I am a really creative person. So I thought it was absolutely amazing. Loved it.
I would like to give a little shout out to Asma's garment though, because I loved the simplicity of this. I thought it was so good. Obviously, we can only have a top three, and we had our top three, and our top three deserved it. But I really liked it, and I really disagreed with the judges when they were kind of like, oh, well, it's not very dramatic. I was like, it's a different level of dramatic. This is like smart. I'd like some, it was just gave me a very smart, sophisticated vibe to it, whereas the others felt a bit more party. Whereas I could see what Asthma made being worn to very formal kind of events, but yeah, it was stunning. I just wanted to give Asthma a little shout out there because I just thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, I liked Asmus as well. I did agree with the judges that it did feel slightly less experimental, slightly less drapey almost than the ones that came maybe in the top three. But I did like it. I did think it was very cute and the kind of thing that a lot of people would like to wear. There was a couple as well that when I saw them on the mannequin, I thought, well, that looks fine on a mannequin, but if you were to have that on a real woman, you're going to have side boob, you're going to have bits falling out. Like, there was a few where I thought, well, that's not the most practical thing in the world.
No, there were some that were a little bit risque. Some where you might not be as well covered as you might want to be. But yeah, I actually really liked this challenge. I thought it was a really, really cool one.
Yes, I did too. I thought it was a very different one for the sewing bee and showing a very different skill, which is draping, and is something that probably most people have never done before. So, yeah, great challenge. Now, on to the final challenge, which was the pattern challenge to create a boo-boo, a dramatic occasion wear, almost like a caftan or robe. It needs to be loose-fitting and comfortable and should tell a story by the fabric that was used. And they had 4 hours to produce it. What did you think of this as a challenge?
I really liked this one. But I do kind of feel like they were hinting from the very start, because when I re-watched it, the amount of times that people said, oh, I've made a boo-boo. Oh, I've made a boo-boo. Oh, I've made a boo-boo. Don't make a boo-boo of that. Let's not make it. And I was just like, and then the final challenge was, oh, we're making a boo-boo. I was like, I kind of feel like someone might have been trying to drop some hints of, this is the last thing you're going to be making today. I really liked it. I thought there were some absolutely stunning pieces that came out of this. Yeah, I thought it was quite an interesting one, because the made to measure, like, normally they're always about, oh, making sure it's well fitted around the bust, making sure it's fitted around the armholes. And I was like, but this is, obviously you want it to be fitted and to look good, but you want it to have that fluidity and drapery behind it. So it's having to really force your brain to think, how can I make this look fitted for the model, but also be loose and flowing, but still look like it's proportional to the model?
Yeah, and people attacked it in different ways, I thought. I'd never heard of a boo-boo before, which I thought, it is kind of a cool garment to wear. And I think this kind of garment comes up in a lot of different cultures all over the world. So it's quite an interesting one. So I think you could lean into it in a lot of different ways. So shall we start talking about the boo-boos?
Yep.
First off, we've got Lizzie, who had produced a colour block design using yellow, orange, grey and a kind of creamy off-white oystery kind of colour. The boo-boo had, the front was ruched using ribbons. It was inspired by her West African trip that she took, I think it was like 20-something years ago. And she had done French seams, and it looked like it was so well sewn when they did a close-up of the colour block panels together. Those seams were sharp and in line.
This was just so beautiful. I love the colour combination. I loved the theme behind it. My only critique is obviously she put the channels in for the ribbon to go down, so that it could be ruched or extended, whatever the wearer fancied. My only critique is I would have liked it had the ribbon gone upwards rather than down, so that way when you ruched it, tied your bow, you could tuck it into the dress, because I just feel like the ribbon that she used was stood out a bit too much, and not for the right reasons. Had she had maybe picked a ribbon that worked with the colour scheme a bit more, I probably wouldn't have noticed it so much, but that was probably my only little critique, is just that one bit. Just, yeah, I didn't really like that bit, but that is literally my only critique. Like, it was just beautiful. The lines were perfect. Like, literally, I'm struggling to think of anything to say about it because it was just so beautiful.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. I hadn't thought, actually, that's an interesting point you've brought up, having the ribbon go up instead of down. I hadn't even thought of that. And yeah, that's a really good idea, because you could then either hide the ribbon inside at the neckline, or if you want to make a feature of it, then you can have it out and basically you've got a bow right at the neck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe it was quite stark, kind of white ribbon. Maybe if she had chosen a colour that was already in the boo-boo, maybe if it had been that kind of mustardy yellow or the orange or the grey, it wouldn't have really drawn your eye to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was just because it was so white in comparison to everything else. It was just a bit like, oh, there it is. Whereas I think if she was going to stick with that, but had it go up the way, you could make a bit more of a feature of it, tuck it in, hide it, whatever. Like, you almost then wouldn't think, oh, it's a drawstring dress. It's just ruched. So yeah, that was literally like my only critique of it. But this was just beautiful. It was so stunning. Like, I was so happy for Lizzie at the end of this, because it was just like, you've bounced back. Lizzie's here now. Like, she's in this competition, and yeah, it made me very happy. I was so, so proud of her.
I think also this was the week that I think she really wanted to do well in.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd pushed herself and she'd done so much sewing on that boo-boo. Those seams were just spot on, and doing things like French seams and stuff like that. So because this West African theme had really, you know, inspired her and taken her back to a nostalgic time where she'd been there, she really wanted to do well. So it was so great that she did do well, because it really meant a lot to her.
Yeah. And the amount of work that she put into it, with doing the French seams and everything else into it, these time-consuming little details, because she really didn't actually have to do French seams in it, but she wanted to do it. And I was a bit like, oh my God, is she going to finish? Has she bitten off more than she can chew? She got more to do in the time frame that she's actually got, and she just did so well, and I was so happy.
Yeah, I always wonder, with regards to like finishing seams and stuff, that when the judges are looking at it, they obviously cut it down massively for TV, so we only see them probably talk about the garment for like 30 seconds or a minute.
Yeah.
But they probably actually stood up there for like 10 minutes with the judges talking about each garment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be interested to see actually how close Esme and Patrick really get in there and have a look. Are they looking at how the seams are finished? Are they looking at the internal construction?
Yeah.
Or is it just kind of how it looks from the outside? It's quite interesting. I'd like to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we've talked about Lizzie enough now. We're going to move on. So Asma was next, and she had used a pale blue. I wasn't sure if it was like a satin or a Duchess satin or something. And she had used a sequin lace overlay. It had a very wedding-y vibe to it. She said that this was the kind of thing that she would wear to a wedding. It was very ambitious. There was a lot going on. That fabric really did show up where there was some slight puckering in seams, and I think towards the end she realized how much she had to do, and just there was a few bits which I think were just rushed.
The one thing I do love about Asma is the fact that she sits there and goes, oh, I've got 4 hours, so let's cram as much as I can into that 4 hours. Let's not give myself a 3-hour job so I can have an hour break. It is, right, I have got 4 hours. How much can I do technically in those 4 hours? And I just think I tip my hat off to her, because when she gets a challenge, she just goes for it. And the concept of this, I really, really loved. The fact that it had so much meaning to it, I thought was absolutely beautiful. And her fabric choices were stunning. But yeah, it was, it's that typical shiny satin issue of, if you just rush it, you're going to see it. And it was a shame that there were some bits that just weren't quite finished how she wanted it to be. But I still thought this was absolutely beautiful.
It was really lovely. And I could definitely see somebody wearing that to a wedding or some kind of event. It was really beautiful. But yeah, just maybe she never takes the easy route. As you said, she always thinks, how much can I do? And yeah. She never thinks, oh, I'll pick a simple pattern this week.
Yeah. I've got 4 hours. Let's cram in as much as I can into every single minute. So I'm literally finished like on the very last second.
Good for her. She doesn't take the easy route.
No, definitely. Like, she definitely deserves a lot of praise for the amount of work she puts into it.
So next up, we've got Tony W. And I put a little star next to this. This was one of my favourites. He'd used quite a bold blue fabric. And then he had overlaid it with a black feather lace fabric. It was super dramatic. It was quite a simple shape. But when his model was moving down the catwalk, it looked so stunning as it moved, and as the sequins or beads or something on that lace really caught the light and almost kind of sparkled. And I thought it just looked really well thought out and put together. He did have a few issues with some raw edges, and the finishing on it when you got up really close and looked at the seams was not the best. But I thought, as a garment, I thought this really did tick the boxes for the drama and the look. What did you think of Tony W's?
This was one of my favourites. Like, it just was stunning. That I loved the colour combination with the black lace and the navy blue satin. I loved the way it flowed. And like you said, it was a simple shape, but it was so effective. And I just, my only little grievance with it, and it's not the raw edges, it's not the unfinished little details, it's the fact that the moment I saw that lace, I had to go and buy it. So I am fully blaming Tony for the fact that I've just bought some lace. No idea what I want to do with it, but I saw it and I was like, I have to have that. So yeah, thanks, Tony. I will be sending you a little invoice to reimburse me for the fabric you made me buy. As everyone knows, I have no willpower when it comes to pretty fabrics.
It's always the way. You buy the fabric and then you come up with the project for it.
Oh, 100%.
Which is really not the way we should do it. It really isn't.
But you know what? I think that'd look quite good as a shirt.
Oh, that would. That'd be lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that's your fault, Tony. Like, thank you for making me buy fabric that I didn't need. Really appreciate that.
Right. Moving swiftly on. Next up, we've got Lauren, who had used traditional green wax African print fabric, which had fans on, which was hilarious, and it tied back to how her mum used to always buy everyone in the family fans. Now, she had added some kind of sparkle trim on the neck, which wasn't the best, and also she'd put feathers on it. I have a bit of an issue with this type of feather trim. I felt a bit triggered. I think it just looks really cheap and nasty. And I think whenever I see anything with this type of feather trim on, it always makes me think of fancy dress costumes and just cheap, nasty. I really don't think it needed that feather on it.
I have to disagree with you a little bit.
Ooh.
I mean, I completely get where you're coming from. It's that, I think, the marabou feathers. So it's just a very, very, very thin kind of like feather boa. Normally, I would completely agree with you and say, no, doesn't need it. Like, if you can, I think if you're going to put feathers on it, you want to do something amazing. You want to do something big, something loud. I really like the feathers on this. I would have loved them to have been a bit bigger, but I really liked it. And I have to say, I disagree with Patrick when he was like, oh, well, the feathers didn't, they're the wrong color of green, but there were so many different shades of green in that that I really don't think she actually had to match it, because I mean, from what I could see, there was at least three different tones of green in the fabric itself. So I didn't see any issue with it adding another one. My only bugbear with this outfit was the neck trim, because she had just focused it at the front but then didn't bring it all the way down so they met. That, to me, just looked like an afterthought. But I quite like the feathers on this.
Oh, no. If they're going to put feathers on, it needs to be like ostrich or something.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I can't 100%. Doing with this. When I lived in America, someone made me a pair of hot pants in red spandex, and they put they put white feather trim around the legs, because I was going to be Santa's helper for a party, and it just brought back memories of that. I've got photos somewhere.
Oh, I might have to see this.
I'll have to dig them out. They're about 17 years old. Anyway, enough of me being triggered. Up next, we have Tony R, who had used a psychedelic kind of wavy pattern fabric that was quite light. It was kind of a fitted top and had a flounce down the front, but he kind of, I think, missed the mark here, because the boo-boos were supposed to be quite oversized and large and floaty and airy, and they weren't supposed to be that fitted, or they were only supposed to have fitted elements that maybe you could pull something in with like a belt or something like that. And then I agree with the judges where they, I think Patrick commented that because the fabric was so busy, you just totally lost that flounce. Like, unless it had been like five times the size and it had been huge, then you just couldn't really see it.
No, I agree with you, and I agree with the judges on this, that it just felt like he completely missed the brief on this. And it was one of those, as much as it was really well constructed, I was also a little bit worried here, because it was like, and you look around the room, everyone else has kind of ticked all of the boxes, and he just missed this one for me. It looked like he was just making your kind of standard dress, and that flounce just, for me, felt like a complete waste of fabric. It just disappeared, and it needed to be exaggerated. It needed to be big. This, like, these garments are things that like are typically worn to events, to ceremonies. Like, they're not supposed to be a little demure thing. They're supposed to be this big statement outfit. And yeah, I just felt like he completely, completely missed the brief. That flounce needed to be five times the size and needed to have several of them, not just one little one. Or if you're going to do a fairly petite one, do it in a contrasting fabric, not in the same fabric, because it just blended in. I have to say, I really disliked this one.
Yeah, I was not keen. I think this was not Tony R's week, to be honest.
No, he played it too safe and too many challenges. And I understand the fear that sometimes you're in a situation you're not quite familiar with things, that you go, oh, I'm just going to play it safe and sail through it. But I think this was that sort of challenge that those that play it safe were at more of a risk of going home.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think they wanted people to be more experimental and play and bring the drama. And yeah, Tony didn't. So next we've got Mia, who had used, it was a pink and black fabric with like a tree design on, and then it had gold foil stars all over it. I thought the fabric was absolutely amazing. I need to find out where that's from, because that would look incredible as like a shirt or something. I loved it. The garment that she created had elastic channel around the top and kind of on the sleeve. So it was a gathered boo-boo there was a ruffle on the skirt. It was very dramatic. It was very Mia. I thought it was really cute. Did you like it?
This was one of my favourites. I just loved it. I thought this is so Mia. This is so cute and adorable. And I too want that fabric. I would love, because it's got quite a bit of structure to it. I think that would look quite good as like a kind of summer jacket.
Yeah.
But I just thought this was absolutely beautiful. She put so much work into it. I mean, people, I think sometimes people kind of underestimate gathering fabric, that actually, when you're gathering a lot of fabric like that, it is stressful as hell. You're then trying to work out, you've got all this fabric and you're trying to make it smaller, but you still need a lot of it. And then you need to make it all even. And then all it takes is for that thread to snap whilst you're trying to gather it all together, and you've got to restart all over again. I thought this was absolutely stunning. And this was a potential garment of the week.
Yeah. I would agree. I put a big star next to it as well. This was one of my favourites as well. I thought it was really great.
And I just loved the colour combination. I just thought it was so cute and classic.
Definitely. It was very Mia. Like, as soon as I saw it, if you didn't know whose that was, you would
instantly... Yeah, you knew that was going to be Mia's.
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it. So next we've got Matthew, who had used, it looked like a blue chiffon and an African Ankara wax print fabric. So two very different fabrics there. And he used the African wax print as the kind of trims, like on the collar, cuffs, and it looked like around the hem. The chiffon was really floaty. It was in a beautiful blue colour that definitely gave that kind of water element to it that he was going for. It had big gathered sleeves. It was self-drafted, so well done, Matthew. I don't think I would have been brave enough to have done something self-drafted. And it mixed traditional male and female elements, boo-boo elements, together and contrasted them. I thought that the boo-boo was kind of sexy, because the chiffon was a little bit sheer, so you could kind of see the model's body through it in his underwear. So there was a little bit of kind of sexiness there, which I thought was kind of fun. And he had done his harness detail on the neck as well. So yeah, I thought this was cute. I found it kind of difficult to fully appreciate. I think I'd need to see up close how the fabrics were interacting together, because I thought the same as Patrick about the heavier fabric pulling at the chiffon, like whether that's what Matthew wanted, but whether it would look cute or not. It looked fine to me on the TV, but I don't know what it looked like in person. What did you think of Matthew's boo-boo?
I really, really like this. I thought it was really good, and I got the fear of a heavyweight cotton fabric being used as like the kind of edge detailing of a chiffon was very risky. But I think he balanced it really, really well that you wouldn't have noticed if it was slightly pulling. I thought this was really, really good. I do agree with Patrick that if you're going to add a little detail like the harness strap in again to make it more of a statement feature, because it was a little bit just kind of tucked into the neckline. But yeah, I thought this was stunning. I loved the fluidity of the fabric. I loved the way it moved on while the model was walking. I really enjoyed this. I thought he did an absolutely fantastic job of this outfit.
Definitely, I agree. Yeah, it moved so beautifully as the model walked. It really kind of was flowing and really had that ripple, that water ripple effect to it. So I thought that was really, really beautiful. Next, we've got Vicky, who had chosen quite a simple caftan style, which had a belt that kind of cinched it, which gave the drama. She had used a pattern which celebrated women, and she had pattern matched both side seams, which was a lot of work getting those to match up and stay matched up when she was sewing them.
This was very, very cute. I really, really liked it. I loved the fabric choice. I loved the print. I loved the colour scheme. I just thought this was absolutely beautiful. And she handled the fabric really... I mean, Vicky's another one that I think we're always going to constantly be praising her, even if she does put in a really tight crotch into a pair of trousers. But yeah, I really liked this. I just thought it was so beautiful. I could see people wearing it on holiday, just on a nice sunny day on an English beach. Like, it was just superb. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I really liked this. I thought this was very Vicky as well. I thought that it really kind of spoke to her kind of aesthetic, which I thought was really cute, playing with the idea of the boo-boo and then with that fabric. Yeah, I thought it was really lovely.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job.
Well done, Vicky. Next, we've got Maria, who had used like a purpley mauve iridescent floaty fabric. I wasn't 100% sure what it was. I looked through my notes and I can't see that I've written down.
I think it was another chiffon.
Was it chiffon?
Yeah.
It kind of had almost like a gold sheen to it as well. So in certain lights, it went kind of from purple to gold. It was really beautiful fabric. She'd used a gold trim on it and also a purple sequin trim. There was a little tuck in the neck on the trim, which kind of you could spot. But I thought it was quite a pretty boo-boo overall.
Yeah, like for picking a challenging fabric, she handled it really, really well. I do agree with Esme that like stick to one sort of trim because it was quite distracting. And I really like the purple and the gold. I think how she could have gotten around this is had she'd, where she's done the gold neckline and the belt, is had she'd used that purple trim as an additional feature on the gold trim, that could have worked really, really well. But because she had one for the hemline, and I believe she used it for the sleeves as well, and then one for the neckline and the waist, it just looked a little bit disjointed. But I thought she had handled this really well. And for someone who appeared to be panicking, she did a very, very good job.
Yeah, I thought she did a good job as well, because yeah, chiffon is an absolute bugger to sew with.
Mm-hmm.
I thought well done, Maria. I thought she had done well in that challenge, but I think there had been issues on the other days, the other challenges, so this maybe wasn't enough, but we'll talk about that in a second. Up next, we've got the last sewer, and we've got Fauve, who had used a crepe back satin in a deep pink, and she'd used fringe on it. There was a lot of drama. Esme particularly liked the monochromatic choice where she'd done everything in that same deep pink, which I think is quite a kind of a cool thing to do and quite dramatic. It looked really well sewn. She'd handled that satin really well, because if there had been puckers, you would have seen them, because that satin's got that shine to it that would really highlight those. Did you like Fauves?
Oh my god, this was just beautiful. And you know what? The vibe that I got from it was very burlesque. I could see this being worn on stage, maybe with a little bit more sparkle and glitter, but I could see that being worn on stage for a burlesque performance. It was just stunning. Like, it gave me Dallas vibes. Like, I could see some rich, luxurious woman like relaxing by the poolside whilst the police turn up because they've just found her husband's dead body and now she's suddenly got all the money. Like, this was just beautiful. I loved the fact that she didn't go overboard with accessories. She just used the trim. It was just so, so beautiful. I thought it was more of a red just from what I could see on my TV screen, but it probably was actually pink. But literally all I've got for my notes was, oh my god, stunning, and lady in red. I have no critiques for this whatsoever. It was just my absolute favorite. And again, another one that I sat and went, this is a contender for Garment of the Week.
Yeah, I want to know if Fauve has actually worn this to a wedding. If you listen in, message in, because we want to know. We want to see pictures.
We want to know. Like, I would love to know that this garment's getting the appreciation it deserves.
And also whether it's red or a really deep pink.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that whole gold dress, blue dress moment. Some of us see red, some of us see pink, but we'll never quite know what it is. So, Fauve, if you can just put us out of our misery and let us know what colour it is, really appreciate that.
So, Garment of the Week was Lizzie's. Did you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah, I did too. I thought there was a lot of work in there and it really was beautiful.
But if it wasn't Lizzie, I would have wanted it to either go to Fauve or Mia.
Okay, yes.
Like, they're those three. I mean, I would have wanted Tony W's up there, but because the unfinished seams, I think it would have been unfair on everyone else. But those three were the ones that was like, these are the ones I could see as, like, they were just absolutely stunning. But yeah, I 100% agree. Lizzie deserved Garment of the Week. It was just beautiful. And it really felt like she's found her feet in this competition.
Definitely. Good for her. Well done, Lizzie. That really was beautiful. And we had to say goodbye to Maria, who just really just had a bit of a shocking week, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it was the right decision, though.
Oh, yeah, I don't think this was her week, and I'm sad to see her go because I really liked her personality and her energy. Also, she's a fellow NHS worker, so I'm a little bit biased there. But yeah, I think it was only fair with everything else going on and what everyone else had produced. I think it was only fair that she went. It's a shame, but yeah, it's competition at the end of the day. Someone's got to go home.
Definitely. And next week we've got the Use, Reuse, Recycle week, so that's going to be interesting.
Yep, and I saw some crochet going on.
Yes, I think that's the pattern challenge. I think they've got to do something with a crochet blanket, which will be interesting to see. And there's also a zero waste pattern, so that's going to be really interesting as well.
Well, I would just like to add, like, when we saw the little section, I can't remember whether it was the little section at the end or something that I saw on social just advertising the next episode, but but it was Fove just basically outing everyone as having crochet experience and creating a little crochet club. And then she turns around to Lauren. I will need to find it and repost it on our Insta. But it just made me laugh because she was sat there going, oh, well, it's just me and Lauren are the only ones who don't crochet. And then Lauren turns around and she goes, oh, well, I do knit. And then, like, it was just the look on Fo's face of going, you don't crochet, but you knit. Looks like I'm the odd duck out of this one then. And it just, it was one of those, I was like, you know what, Fo, if I was in that competition with you, we would have our own little club at the background, in the back, just having a moan about everyone who's got crochet skills. Because I cannot crochet to save my life. I can't even knit to save my life.
Yeah, I'm terrible at crochet. I went on a day course and at the end I had a very colourful looking spider web.
I mean, at least you were able to make something. I imagine, like, the moment I took it off the hooks, the whole thing would just fall apart.
Yeah, mine, it was supposed to be a granny square, but it just looked like a bit of an explosion in a wool shop.
Oh, I love it.
Right then, well, I hope everyone is coping in this heat.
Yeah, and we do apologise if we just ended up spouting a load of gibberish, but my brain has absolutely melted today.
Yeah, I had to close the window because the kids were screaming outside and I was worried that they might pick up on the mic. So I am actually sweating so much and desperate for a drink. So it's going to be a good time to say goodbye.
I had to close my window because my neighbours have started cooking a barbecue and it made me hungry.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'd now want a barbecue. But, yeah, so we do apologise for any kind of sound issues that might appear in this episode. But, sadly, we had to work with what we've got and it is boiling hot out there.
Usual podcasting will resume next week, hopefully, if the weather gets cooler.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Right. That's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.